The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
These years actually aren't happy years, they're really hard years. And the Bible tells us that God is near to the brokenhearted, so naming my pain, the pain of my limitations, so that I could sit with God in that grief. And what eventually happened is I began to grow to accept the story that God had given me as different than the one that I wanted.
Best-selling author Sarah Haggerty describes her personal journey to find the beauty of boundaries and the gift of limitations. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy is with me. And do you have any limitations?
Definitely. I do. Did you need to ask me that?
Well, you know, we all do. And today's guest has been with us before. Sarah Haggerty is back with us. Thrilled to have her. She has a new book called The Gift of Limitations, and that's not what I think of when I think of as limitations.
I know. Right? When I think of my limitations now, I'm like, are they really a gift?
Right.
Or how can I see them as a gift?
Mm. Oh, now that's it. So we're going to talk about that. Sarah, welcome back to Life
Thank
Today.
You.
So good to see you
it's
again.
Good to be here. Thank Yay. You for having me.
Life is good?
It is. Very full. So, and limited.
Okay. So, all right. So in addition to being an author, you homeschool.
I do.
Which to me, well, how many children
yeah.
do you have?
I have seven.
Seven children.
Yes.
So you're not just a homeschool mother. You're a teacher. This is like a full-time job.
Yeah.
How do you view limitations, and how actually do you define them? Because to me, that right there would be somewhat of a limitation.
That's a great question. I think of limitations like a fence line around our lives. We have this, whether it's a postage stamp or a piece of property that we live on, and that we clearly have our boundaries that we live in, and we have the places that we're not, that aren't ours, that we don't own, but for most of us that we want.
Mm-hmm.
We spend a lot of time looking over the fence line, a lot of time wishing, dreaming, envisioning parts of our life to be different, to be something that we don't have. So our limitations in some ways are what keep us confined. And for many of us, I think we live resenting them.
Hmm. Okay. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think the gift of limitations is a process to get there. Our limitations are things that we live resenting, but oftentimes we don't name. We react to them. We spend a lifetime kind of working around them or trying to hurdle the fence. But there's something to be had in naming those limitations and actually naming that we resent them and sitting in the process of grieving them and bringing them to God.
It's an interesting place and an interesting topic for me when I think of limitations, because I always thought, like, if I was limited to something, do I try to fight through this to get on the other side of
right.
it? Because am I not, as a believer of Christ, am I supposed to be unlimitless?
Overcoming, yes.
Yeah, so how do you kind of balance the two of those, kind of the gift of limitless and yet struggling with, like, I shouldn't have any limits. I'm bound by limits or something. How do you balance those two things or explain that a little deeper?
Psalm 16:6 says the boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. And I think we as believers, a lot of times we skip steps and we coach ourselves into that end game. I just need to see that these boundaries are pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way that we actually can start to see our limits is the things that are not moving, they're not bending, we can't shift them, we can't work around them.
Mm.
I think a significant step is actually naming our limitations, recognizing how much we oftentimes resent them, want to work around them, and grieving them with God so that we get to then join Him in His story for our lives.
That's a psalm I've never seen stitched on a pillow.
Never.
But so here's the thing. I'm hearing this almost two different ways, because you talk about grieving limitations,
mm-hmm.
which sounds like a negative thing, but then you also talk about sort of borders or knowing our area, so it sounds like a good thing. Is there an example from your life that we could understand how
sure.
you're phrasing
this?
I
think of early on, shortly after we were married, several years, we just thought our life would be like everybody else's life. You get married, you have kids, you grow your family, and we watched friend after friend conceive, and we shortly realized that that wasn't going to happen for us.
Mm.
And so for other people, their rite of passage, which was having children, was a do not enter sign for us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think as a believer, we can oftentimes coach ourselves into skipping steps and yeah. saying, well, I just should accept my lot. This is what God has for me. I need to be joyful. But there's a beauty to actually saying, this is super hard for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in this place right now. Mm. I'm actually resenting where I am. There's a place that I want to be, and it's on the other side of the fence line. And so for me, it was walking through the process of naming, these years actually aren't happy years, they're really hard years. And the Bible tells us that God is near to the brokenhearted, so naming my pain, the pain of my limitations, so that I could sit with God in that grief. And what eventually happened is I began to grow to accept the story that God had given me as different than the one that I wanted. But you can't will yourself there.
Yeah.
We try to coach ourselves into better behavior and happy living, but there's a process that God has us on, and I think grief's a key part of that process, because when we grieve, we actually get to see the nearness of God to our brokenheartedness.
Yes.
How did you get 7 children, if that's the case?
Well, we adopted our first 4 and really thought that that was probably how our family would be, and then after that, many years after, we had several surprise pregnancies.
Wow.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Surprise.
Very, very big surprise. My last one, I was 42.
Wow.
It was a very big surprise.
So suddenly that limitation that you felt, that you grieved, that you dealt with and said, God, now what, led to you adopting 4 children?
Absolutely.
That you wouldn't. So
it was a different story. And I think that's a key process when we actually, instead of just reacting to our limitations, all of us, if we're honest, we spend countless amounts of energy thinking about life on the other side of the fence.
Yes.
We dream in our mind. We daydream. We spend our days daydreaming about when I get past this season, when the child's finally sleeping through the night, when I'm no longer taking care of this sick parent or this sick child or this illness in my body. When we actually begin to name, this is really hard. And this isn't the story that I wanted. And we begin to grieve that with God. There's a slow beauty to accepting the story that he's given us. And so when God then surprised us with these pregnancies, we'd been on a decade plus journey of going, your story, maybe your story's better. Mm. Maybe your story, God, is better.
There are definitely limits, I think, because I think of even my mom was probably watching today. Mm. That's, you know, 75, and she's had 2 knee replacements. Mm. She wants to be more active, and she can't. She's limited physically. And so she's, you know, every day, I think, goes through that, oh, if I could get 20 pounds off, if I could get out there and walk. But I think there are people that truly are limited, even physically. And then you're also taught on the other side of that, like we were talking about moments ago, about like the burden of it and the chains that you feel when you're limited, things like that. But I think the reality is that there are people that are just going to be limited. Do you see it that way as
Absolutely.
Well? That's part of, like, I have to accept that I will never be an opera singer. You know, that's not going to happen. I'll never sing like Natalie Grant. That's not going to happen. So I'm limited to some degree. But I look at the gifts that I do have. What else do I have in my life? Mm. What can I do with what God has given me? How can I look at the fences around my life and see it as something beautiful?
And see it as something that's keeping what's on the inside of those fences actually is a wonderful beauty to be tended. A lot of times we can't see that. Mm. Because we're looking at what's
so
on the
busy.
Other side of the fence. I mean, I personally,
yes.
I have been diagnosed with Lyme disease. So I live in the reality that my body cannot do what it once did. Mm. Now, one day, maybe it will be. But currently, my body cannot, I can't run at the pace. I can't accomplish the things. I can't care for friends or even my kids or my husband many days to the degree that I would want to care for them. But what's the process of grieving that? Of actually giving it more than a minute to go, this is really hard, and this isn't what I chose for my life. Because I think there are probably viewers who are facing physical illness or limitations that if you look 10 years out, you're thinking, this may not change. And there is a process that God invites us into of grieving that unto a deeper acceptance of what he's allowed. Not saying that we wouldn't have hope, but in fact that I think hope actually gets birthed in the place of laying down some of these dreams for the other side of the fence line. And beginning to say, this is the story you've given me. This is the plot line you've given me. So for me, with my Lyme disease, I move slow. I move slower than I did 10 years ago, slower than I did 5 years ago. And it's hard. Mm. It's not me saying, oh, this is wonderful. It's hard.
Yes.
But in those days, I feel this whisper of God. In the days where I am fatigued and need to be in bed, I feel the whisper of God going, slower still. What do you think I see when I look at you when you're less productive? What do you think I see when I look at you and you're not accomplishing all that you want to accomplish? We see a different side of God looking at us when we can't knock it out of the park.
So here's the hard question, I think, and you start to divide along sort of some of the theological nuances. Mm. Because there's one side that I think sometimes is a little too fatalistic.
Absolutely.
And it's just like, well, life is hard. Mm. It's never going to get any better.
Cynical.
I just can't wait to get out of here. And the other side almost lives in a fantasy world that says, oh, I'm not sick. I don't have Lyme's disease. I'm like, yeah, you do, you
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. where do we land in the middle of having faith? We know God can heal. We know he can mm-hmm. knock down everyone. He can expand our borders. We sold millions of books on that, right? Versus the be faithful in a little. Cultivate the plot that God's put you on, accept what you can't change. You know, it's how do we know the correct road and not fall in one of those ditches?
I think that's such a good question.
Yes.
I think the middle line is acknowledging what's right in front of us. I'm going to wake up sometime this week fatigued. Mm. Mm. So acknowledging it. But then instead of trying to physically overcome it myself, which I think sometimes is that fantasy land, let me just pretend and push myself. Let me push the limit. I actually am staying in the place of, no, this is hard. But as the Bible tells us, tribulation leads to perseverance. Perseverance leads to character, and character leads to hope. Mm. If we're staying in that middle place, actually the end of sitting in your pain with God is a supernatural hope.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go inside this fence line, you have a life for me. And there is a limitlessness that comes when I lean into the story you've given me.
Totally. I feel like that's where I've been the last 22 years of my journey of loss back to life again. You know, it's taken me years to get to a place where I had to see something as the end of something in my life as the beginning of something in my life. And that's a hard place to be when something has ended and been taken from you. So it felt like to then look at that plot of land inside the fence and say, now what, God?
And what's in here?
What is in here? And how can I find beauty and comfort and something new within something that's always been in front of me?
I mean, it is like resurrection weekend. We have a Friday of the cross. I mean, I think all of us are invited into this reality that we have a Friday of the cross and we have to admit and acknowledge that some things are dying in our lives.
Yeah.
And then there's this Saturday waiting, sitting in the pain with God. Grief is actually good. Grief is a gift from God.
Yes, it is.
That we can sit in that unfamiliar weight, that uncomfortable weight, knowing that really out of death, that's when new things are birthed.
Yes.
But we skip Saturday, right? We just want to go from Friday to Sunday. We skip the, let me sit in this pain with God, knowing that to answer your question, on the other side of it, there is actually new life, new hope, new birth that comes from the things in our life that we can't have.
You know, I love that because it's not hopeless, and that's okay. If you're in that painful position right now, just know that God is with you, and that's where the hope comes from. It's not hopelessness. This is a place of hope, and there's something that, Sarah, you say in your book that I want people to hear, because it will give purpose to that sitting in the pain a lot of times. You talk about how slow growth equals maturity.
Absolutely.
And if we understand that the purpose of God is to conform us to the image of Christ, then we can sit in that difficult place, not being as productive as we think we should be or we want to be, and let the slow growth conform us.
Absolutely. It is a letting. I mean, there is a process that God does in us if we let him use our circumstances to shape us. I think to answer your earlier question about overcoming, so many times we want to shift our circumstances.
Right.
We want to change what's happening to us, not recognizing that he's a really good dad and the hard that he is letting happen in your life right now maybe isn't to be overcome, but if you can let yourself sit in it and let him work the process mm-hmm. and engage with his heart, I think that's the key thing to not being yep. cynical, that I'm actually right. gonna engage with God's heart for me right now. I'm gonna cry it out with God. I'm gonna pray the Psalms to God. If I can stay in that place, then he is bringing on the other side of it profound hope in life, profound beauty, profound wonder, profound newness.
Yes. My goodness. So. Why do you think that even, you know, in your book, we talk about emotions a lot. In your book, you talk mm-hmm. about grief, emotions, a lot of things. Why do you think we also avoid big emotions in our lives?
I think they're scary and unfamiliar. They feel like they could rob us of what we think we really want. Many of us weren't raised really knowing how to process our emotions, and so they just feel like off limits.
Mm. Yeah.
Like sometimes I think we even develop whole theologies to help us avoid our emotions, when in reality, like, we look at the psalmist, God gave us lanes for our emotions in the Bible. They were some of the most emotional beings. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus' words that he actually uses on the cross. We have lanes in Scripture to be emotional. God was emotional.
Exactly. That's one thing I've learned, especially being on this show. We had Dr. Anita Phillips that really, like, it was life-changing for me when she was talking about emotions. I'm like, so my emotions are okay?
Absolutely.
So, you know, yes, it was so freeing for me because I giggle freely and I cry freely. Uh-huh. But I love that, and I love learning about that so much. And even I think, you know, I think about your story when you lost your dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how you've had to process through that for a long time even.
I mean, still ongoing.
Yes, and, mm-hmm. and I think we talked about that backstage, even just like how I still, all these years later, sometimes I can still feel punched in the gut.
Grief can take you out in a second.
Yes, and
absolutely.
Just dealing with the limitations of even grief. And mm-hmm. and what does that look like? Chapter 6 in your book meant so mm-hmm. much to me, Sarah, so much to me. And it talks about good grief.
Mm-hmm.
And is there good grief? Is it possible to grieve well? And just like you said, you cannot skip over it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to read something that just ministered to me. And I think it may minister to somebody today. Lean in for a second. All the while, God's invitation remains the same. Come to me with your tiredness, your overwhelmed, your sadness over what you thought the season would be. Come to me. Come to me with lowercase aches, the ones your dad might coach you out of or your sister might say are foolish, the ones that don't compare with a child starving in Africa. Come to me with those aches. Yes, come to me when your neighbor has lost their spouse or when you think it's foolish to cry over another unpaid bill. God doesn't set us up on a scale to see who is crushed enough in spirit to warrant comfort. Many of us have years of splinters we never brought to him, and we wonder why our hope is lost. Mm. Hope is never lost. Mm. It's what I love about that chapter, that moment in my life as I sat in my study reading it. Hope is never lost. Mm-hmm. Bring it all to Jesus. Bring it all to him today. Whatever you feel is holding you back from living your mm-hmm. best life, change it today. Look within the fence of your life at what God has placed, very beautiful things, very specific, intentional things for you to see that you might be overlooking. And today it's keeping you from living a free, fulfilled life that is actually limitless within the gift of limits. I pray that you'll do that today. And as you're thinking on that, just take a second right now. I want to show you something that's really powerful where we get the chance to help some people live outside of those boundaries as well. Watch this.
So this is where you get your water. It's just unbelievable. We just got through walking down this crazy steep hill where I literally just fell coming down. And this mom is coming down here to collect water. And she is about to carry this. This is 5 gallons of water, 8 pounds per gallon, 40 pounds. She's gonna put that on her head while she has a baby on her back, and she's gonna walk back up that hill. And this is what this mother's drinking. This is why two of her children have died.
ukagenda ukavuza burya wabamuzanira bya ya miti ukacumuhesha ya amazi mabi hari gihe ushoboye kubona inda nayo ikacigume panda umuhaye amazi na ya miti indi kacitsa ko ibintu by'ibitsi nk'ukunda kandi wa mwana azorinda apfacibwamo na yanda heruko.
Two of her children both passed away from the water that was here that they had to drink. Esperance has another baby on her back called Angeline, or Angel. Earlier I was saying how beautiful she was, and she said, how can my baby be beautiful when the water that she drinks makes her so sick? And I had to tell her that she was beautiful because God made her, and that I see the image of God in her. You know that in the same region right here in this village, over 32 mothers have lost children in the last couple of years. Would you please, please help us bring clean water to this village? We will take what you give, and we will make a difference in the lives of villages all over the world through Water for Life.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will, John. That is our promise. It's always been our promise. We will do everything we possibly can to get to every child, every village, every family that we can possibly reach. That's our goal. When I look at that piece and I see her words, I tried everything. Oh man, it almost knocks the wind out of me because I think of things in my life, the hardships I've had, struggles I've had, a suffering I've had in my life, where I feel like I've tried everything to make it better, to fix it. My struggles seem very little in comparison to hers and in losing her children and the fear of losing more. I tried everything. Makes me kind of pause for a moment and think, have I done everything I can to help those who need my help? This is just one story. This is another day. This is another question I have. We've got to do everything we can to reach these families. I want to bring them hope. I want to help them, give them another reason, be another reason. I want to try. I want to do what I can. Our goal this year is to drill 350 wells, and I hope we go beyond that in 20 nations. It will be life-giving water. Randy, there's something so real about this opportunity that we get to be a part of.
Yeah, you know, it is an opportunity.
Yes.
It is a tragedy. It is a terrible situation in so many places, but that is an opportunity. And I think that's how we need to look at it. So when you see the images of a child who is suffering, when you see the images of a mother who is in pain, yes, I want you to see the emotions that they're feeling, but I want you to see that it is an opportunity. And you got a little bit of a glimpse. And Tammy, I know you've seen this out in the mission field with John Yates, too.
Yeah.
And this goes on with so many of our mission partners. There's a ministry opportunity that takes place right there.
Totally, totally.
We're not just tending to their physical needs, though. We are absolutely doing that.
Yeah.
We are shining a light, and that light is Christ into the darkest, most desperate places.
Yes.
We can only do what you enable us to do. We can only reach the goals that you enable us to reach. The 350 wells in 20 nations, that is our prayer, that is our hope. I'd love to go right past it. We can only do it with your support. This is the last week we'll be on the air asking for your support, so let me quickly tell you how it breaks down. Your gift of $48 today will help provide water for life for 10 people. Clean drinking water. A gift of $144 will provide life-giving water for 30 people. Some of you can drill an entire well. The average cost of that globally, $4,800. Whatever, though, it's just critical that we act and act today, because as we're wrapping up this campaign, we need to get things in motion, literally wheels in motion, so that we can get to these villages quickly, and time is critical. So please don't delay. Pick up the phone right now, if that's how you give. Maybe easier to go online. Click, click, click. You've just made a difference in someone's life. Whatever you can do, whatever God puts on your heart, I pray that you'll do it today and help us give water for life.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Daughter, written by James and Betty's granddaughter, Lainey Renee. This insightful book invites all girls and women to walk in the freedom of their God-given identity and embrace who they really are. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Great is the Lord decorative blanket, featuring the words of Psalm 145:3. This beautiful blanket is perfect for comfort in cold weather and a reminder of your help with Water for Life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water, inspired by Jesus' words in Mark 9:41. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, this is the last week we'll be in this emphasis on the broadcast show, but your gift will keep on giving. So I pray you'll do the best you can and go online, go to the phone, and know that you will be saving lives. And listen, if today's program has ministered to you, when you make that gift, just request Sarah's book, The Gift of Limitations. We would love to put that in your hands. And Sarah, you know, you end the book on a chapter called Something Beyond. Mm-hmm. And I love that because it says there's hope.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, there's hope. We live untold amounts of time thinking about what we don't have. Mm-hmm. And there's a fence. Inside the fence, there's a yard, and there's trees and birds and wonder and beauty available to us. And part of the gift of our limitations is the Lord saying, I want you to look here.
Yes.
In the life that I've given you.
Yes.
And what I have here for you, I want to meet you right here in the life you have, not the life you're dreaming of, but the life that you're living right now, this moment, this day.
Yes. And it's possible to be a good life.
Yes.
Absolutely. Gosh, I love you. I think you're amazing. It was so fun meeting you today for the first time.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate you so much.
Oh,
what a gift
you,
your book is to
thank
all
you.
Of us. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Fight the Good Fight by James Robison and Jay Richards reveals the battle for our culture. Constitution shattered, heroes vilified, but hope remains. Unite, repent, and stand firm. Fight the good fight.
Remember that he's not standing off to the side saying, like, why can't you get it together? Why can't you rest better? Why can't you drink a green smoothie and get a nap and yeah. figure it out?
Right.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.